Welcome to The Liberated Life, the podcast for women who are done pretending that they have it all figured out and are ready to live with more freedom, clarity, and courage. I'm Lucy Maeve, your guide on a journey through the unspoken parts of healing, desire, and self-discovery. This is a place to be seen, heard, and held, where we embrace all the complexities and contradictions of being fully alive. No masks, no shortcuts, just the real work and real liberation. Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to The Liberated Life. I'm so excited to be here. We have got a juicy episode today, and this is the episode that I wish that I had heard many a year ago. It would have been super, super supportive. And I'm so excited to be sharing it with you. We are going to be talking about Christmas and if sometimes for you Christmas feels a little bit more triggering than cozy, lovely vibes, you're not alone. And we're going to dive into why this is the case and, most importantly, how we can navigate it and how we can use this period of time, if it's triggering for you, as really a space of insight and a space of inquiry and a space of like being able to glean things that we can then take out of this portal of time into the next year, is really a gift. We're going to look at it as how we can take whatever triggers are showing up for us in this Christmas week and use it for our own growth. Now, I want us to go into this episode with the energy of curiosity and the energy of self-responsibility. We are not in a dynamic here where we are blaming anyone. I want this to be clear. We are not blaming anyone here. We are in a space of like, okay, we're going to approach this Christmas period with curiosity and inquiry and self-responsibility. And I'm going to give you the blueprint of how we do this and all of the important bits and pieces that you guys need to know in order to approach this period with an essence of curiosity, self-love, self-compassion, and really empowerment, to be honest. This is really about empowering us all to kind of see things through a different lens. I think it's really easy to go into blame, and I don't want us to do that here. We're not about blame. We are about self-responsibility and inquiry. So the most important piece here for us to ground this whole episode is everything that gets activated in your family dynamic when you go home will inevitably show up in your relationships as well. So this is where it's really important. It's really easy to think that the dynamics that show up in our family of origin are just isolated to that space. Like, oh, I get triggered when I'm around a certain aunt or parent or whoever it might be, brother, sister. But when I'm in my normal life, I'm powerful, I'm independent, I'm good. I like none of this stuff shows up in my normal life. And I want to just make it clear that anything that is showing up in your family of origin is most likely showing up in all of your other relationships, which is why this period of time, when we go back into our family's origin, if that is what you are doing, can be really interesting information gathering, because it shines a very strong light on all of our relational dynamics. Which can be super painful at times, but it's shining a light on it so that we can potentially come out of this period of time with deeper self-compassion, deeper sense of self-awareness, and also spaces of like, okay, this is where I need to grow. Like, it's just showing me a map of where I need to grow. Obviously, the whole purpose of Christmas isn't just for your own self-inquiry and personal development. You're also more than welcome to have some fun and enjoy yourself too. But I think this is a helpful underpinning to just be aware of. So I want us to dive into, first of all, why family can be so triggering. It is very easy to go into blame. And as I mentioned at the start, we are not in a community of blame here. We're in a community of self-responsibility. So why family can be so triggering is because our relational blueprint is formed in our family of origin. So when we are back in our family dynamic, we are back in the origin point of where our body learned what love meant, what safety meant, what belonging meant, what conflict meant. So I know that sometimes we can have this experience of like going back into family dynamics and suddenly feeling like a five-year-old. Anyone else do that? And this is really normal, because when we go back into those dynamics, even if mentally you feel like you're a grown-up and you're like, I'm now running a big business, or I'm like, have got this big job that pays me loads, and I have my own flat and my own home, maybe your own children, like you may mentally be like, I'm an adult. But when we go back into the relational dynamic and the relational field of our family of origin, our body remembers who we had to be growing up. We slot back into the identities that we took on, the survival patterns that we took on. And when I say survival patterns, I'm not talking about survival as in like serious abuse. I'm talking about survival in terms of how we learned to receive love, how we learned to behave in order to feel love. I should actually preface this, that if you are in a dynamic where there is like real true abuse in your family, this episode may be not the one for you. I'm talking about when we have small T trauma and like some dynamics that happen in our families that aren't particularly helpful, but I'm not talking about any type of real dangerous physical abuse here. So when we step back into our family of origin home, what tends to happen is we become the version of us that we had to be as a child growing up. This can be super frustrating. Anyone else feel this when you're like, I'm really good when I'm out on my own, like in the world, doing my job with my friends, and then suddenly we become like a regressed version of us when we are around our family. Now, I want you to be clear here in yourself, self-compassion, you're not overreacting. You are not overreacting. Your body is just re-experiencing childhood to a certain degree. So you step into that dynamic and you're really walking into a relational field here where there's certain roles and certain imprints that each person in the relational field has to take on in order for the relational field to stay stable. So it's very easy to slip back into our old patterns when we are in a big relational dynamic like that. Added on top of this, that like, you know, the holidays, it's like pretty high sensory emotional overload, a lot of people, potentially less space for yourself. You have less capacity. Your nervous system is most likely quite activated just generally because you don't have as much space for yourself. So it becomes much easier to get triggered as well. So we're not faulting anyone. We're not blaming anyone. Definitely not blaming ourselves. This is just going into it with a level of understanding. So there are two pieces here. One, you're stepping into this relational field, which is very similar to what it was like when you were a child, even if you are a grown adult. And two, there is just this piece around your nervous system most likely being at a higher level of activation because of the intensity of the holiday periods. Now, I want us to dive a little bit into why it is that you can end up feeling like a child again. This used to drive me insane. I'd be like, okay, I am like, I've got this job in an investment bank. I'm like going to Tokyo on work trips and presenting in front of all of these like middle-aged men about a product that I don't think anyone really understood. But and then I go back home and suddenly I'd be like, I feel like a five-year-old and I'm having like weird, I was having like weird meltdowns and I'd suddenly like withdraw and have to like go and hide in my room and like start crying. And I was like, what on earth is going on here? Now, I talked about this briefly a couple of minutes ago, but when we step into our dynamic in our family of origin, we typically take on our old identities. So when we are little, we learn what identities we need to take on in order to receive love. So we all take on different identities depending on the dynamic that we grew up in, but we typically take on an identity that supports us to receive love from our primary caregivers and potentially our siblings as well. So there are a few common roles that I will mention here as kind of suits that we put on to be like, okay, if I put this on, I'm most likely as a child going to receive some form of attention, some form of love, some form of like presence from people. So this could be that you become the peacemaker. Maybe you become the overachiever. Maybe you become the good girl. Maybe you become the invisible one. Maybe you become the caretaker. Maybe you're the one who doesn't need anything. Now, we can be a bit of a blend of all of these. It's not that we only take on one identity, but it can be helpful to recognize, like, okay, I can see that I kind of step into this role of being, I often step into the role of being a caretaker, or like the one that does everything. And I think that it's just helpful to recognize, okay, this is the archetype that I kind of step into here. Now, these aren't personality traits. These are not like, oh, I'm just like this. This is just who I am. They are survival strategies. And I know that the word survival can be a little bit like activating, I guess. But I'm not talking about like life or death necessarily. I'm talking about, like, as a child, we have a really, really strong need to receive love. And in order to receive love, we will do whatever we can in order to survive to receive that kind of love. This is what I'm talking about here. So these were the roles that we took on in order to support us to feel safe in our family environment. So when we step back into our family environment, what we typically do is go, okay, I'm going to step back into the role that as a child supported me to feel safe. So as an adult, this could look like perhaps minimizing your achievements. Like maybe you've had a really amazing year at work and suddenly you're like making yourself smaller, making yourself less, not talking about yourself very much, like keeping yourself as the little one. Maybe you become just quieter. Like you don't share your opinions. You speak softly. You become like much more inward than perhaps you are in your day-to-day life. Perhaps you notice yourself seeking approval a lot from the people around you. Maybe you're over-helping. Maybe you completely abandon yourself in the process of being in your dynamic at home. And you become like the server of everyone. Maybe you take on this role of being like, I'm fine. You just are fine all the time. Now, these dynamics that show up in our family of origin are very similar to our dating dynamics or our relational dynamics. So say, for example, you notice over the Christmas period or when you're with your family of origin that you typically withdraw. Like maybe you disappear into your phone a little bit. Maybe you like need to get out to go for walks and to get air a lot. Or like maybe you volunteer to go and like pick up the turkey and do loads of errands just so that you can get some space for yourself. Or maybe you're like really, really overly helpful. So you don't have to actually share what's going on for you. You're just like doing and being helpful. This pattern is very similar to avoidance in relational dynamics and in dating. It's a part of us that likes to keep things casual because too much closeness feels threatening. So we like to disappear. We like to be like, oh, this is too much. I'm just going to like disappear off and be alone. This can give us an indication of some form of avoidance. Maybe you're the one in your family of origin where you are constantly scanning the emotional atmosphere. Like maybe you're like hypervigilant to people's emotional states and you're like trying to keep everyone happy and you're like, oh God, that person seems like they're in a mood. I need to shift and do something different in order for them to be happy. Maybe you're like bracing for criticism from people or you're managing your tone a little bit, managing your needs. This is the same part of us that spirals when someone doesn't text back or feels too much on dates or loses themselves in relationships. This like hypervigilance of making sure that I'm not too anything and making sure that everyone is okay before I recognize that I'm okay. Maybe you go really quiet or you feel numb or you can't feel your body or you have that experience of kind of feeling like you're like kind of above your body and you're like witnessing the room that you're in. You maybe become and like seem like you're quite calm and collected, but internally you're like, I don't really feel like I'm here. This is often quite similar to the like, I don't know what I feel in this dynamic, or I just suddenly get the ick, or I'm just like, I don't feel anything. Just like, I don't really care. I don't feel anything. This is when we go into shutdown. Now, this is why it's super interesting, right? Because we can witness this stuff in our families, be like, oh my God, this stuff is very similar to my dating life, which is a really, really helpful piece of information to have. Why is it helpful? Because it supports us to recognize how we're showing up in our life day to day, and how we can potentially shift out of this. So I want us to go into here how Christmas and this period of being with family can be a really beautiful portal into healing. Now, I think where we get it wrong is, like, I think there's a lot of talk around, like, oh, how Christmas can be stressful and how it's intense and how so-and-so annoys us or whatever. But that's really not taking any self-responsibility. It's putting all of the responsibility on other people and none of the responsibility on ourselves. Now, if we reframe the entire experience, I need a glass of water, sorry, I'm thirsty. If we reframe this entire experience of going back into our family dynamics, away from, like, oh, Christmas is stressful and everyone finds it stressful and whatever, we look at it actually as a period of revelation. It is a period of showing us what relational dynamics we are carrying into adulthood and into our relationships. Because in truth, if we had healed some of these aspects in ourselves, if we had healed the little girl in us that feels that she needs to do everything for everybody else in order to be loved, or feels that she has to withdraw in order to be safe, if we'd healed that, this stuff wouldn't show up in our family. It wouldn't. So the fact that it shows up shows us that there is still an active element of our little girl who feels like, in order to receive love, I must do these things. This is all it's showing us. It's just showing us, like, wow, for me, there is a part of me that believes I must do X in order to be lovable. So in my own experience, what typically happened for me, and it's softening and I'm still working on it, but it's definitely a lot better than it used to be. The initial thing that I noticed was I used to go into huge withdrawal. So I would go into, like, suddenly just, like, can't be around anyone, would get very triggered and very, very activated and, like, have to go to my room and would just, like, cry and be like, I, no one loves me, no one cares about me in my head. Around, like, oh God, everyone's just, like, cares about everyone else and I'm the odd one out, and all of that stuff would come up for me. Then as I did more healing work and that part of me softened, I then started to notice that I would go into overperformance. So overdoing, like serving everyone, making sure that everyone else is okay, making sure that I'm, like, running around doing a million things, and then feeling like I don't actually know where I am in this. Like, I haven't, like, read a book or done any of my normal practices for a week, and suddenly I've, like, completely forgot myself. Now, we could sit and blame ourselves for this, or we could go, this is super interesting. This is super interesting. Like, wow, okay, I'm doing this. This must show me that part of me believes that in order to be lovable, I have to do things for other people. I have to be doing, I have to be performing. So all of the dynamics that show up for you when you're at home for Christmas will show you your relational dynamics in your life. They will show you where you shrink. They will show you where you perform. They will show you where you hide yourself. They will show you where you disconnect. Your period of being in family of origin is the most magical period of revelation. And again, we are not blaming anyone for this. In truth, we took these patterns on. We chose as children to take these patterns on. No one forced it on us. I'm obviously talking about dynamics where there wasn't overt abuse here. We decided as children, we made meaning out of something that in order to receive love, I must do X. And we've continued that pattern. And we most likely continue that pattern in all of our romantic relationships, all of our professional relationships, all of our platonic relationships. This is why it is so powerful to look at this period through this lens and to step away from just, like, this apathy of, like, oh, it's just stressful because, you know, family is stressful. It's like, no, look at what shows up for you. Notice what activates you. Notice what wants attention and care from you. Because when we notice a part of us that's like, oh God, I feel like I can't speak what I actually believe, or, oh, I have to perform, or I have to shrink, or I have to be super like busy, or I have to like, the only way I can get space is by like running away and picking up the turkey. It's like, wow, there's a part of me that believes this. Can I love that part of me? Can I really care for that part of me that's like clearly feeling like this is what love is for her? Like that she has to do this in order to be safe and in order to receive love. So I really want you to see if you can take this into your holiday period. If you do this, I can promise you will come away from the period so much more empowered. So much more empowered. Like, this is a complete shift in consciousness. Complete shift. And my guess is you will also have a way better time if you left it through this lens. So there are a few things that I want you to really focus on noticing over this period. The first one is notice where your body tightens. So if you are used to doing body-based work, this might be easy for you. If you're not, you're just wanting to notice, like, is there any, or are there any places or any people where you feel a little bit more tightened up in your body? Maybe you notice tightness in your chest. Maybe there's like a sensation in your belly. Maybe your jaw feels tight. Maybe your heart rate goes up a little bit. Just notice. Because where our bodies tighten, part of us doesn't feel safe. Now, this doesn't mean that the person that you are with is inherently unsafe. This is really important. It does not mean that the person that you're with is inherently unsafe. You may just be experiencing something that as a child felt threatening to you, and you're getting a reverberation as an adult now. The second piece to notice is, who do you become around your family? What role in you activates? Like, what version of you automatically steps forward? Who you become? Little side piece here. This is exactly who you become in your romantic relationships too. Notice who you become. Notice what behaviors you take on. Next piece. What are you trying to earn? Like, through this role that you take on, what is it that you're trying to earn? Are you trying to earn approval? Are you trying to earn peace? You hoping that in what you do, like, there won't be any arguments, it will all be peaceful? Are you trying to earn love? Are you trying to earn predictability? Notice what you're hoping to receive in this. Often what we're hoping to receive from other people is what we really want from ourselves. So if we're like performing and being like, look at all these amazing things I did, someone like praise me. It's like, can you praise yourself? We're outsourcing. We're outsourcing what a part of us really needs, and we're not giving it to ourselves. And this stuff shows up so much more when we're in family dynamics than anywhere else. Next piece, how do you protect yourself? Do you withdraw? Do you people please? Do you overhelp? Do you numb? Again, notice. We're not trying to change anything here. We're just wanting to notice. This is your relational blueprint on a tray, gifted to you every year. And so often we ignore it. This is like literally a map of our healing. If you can really glean stuff from the period that you spend at home, your life will forever change. And again, no blame, no shame. We took this stuff on as children. And again, we're not shaming our inner child here. We're just recognizing that we did this without shame. With self-responsibility. And the final one that I want you to look at is, what did the younger version of you need? Safety, maybe. Emotional safety. Validation. Did she need more space? Like, maybe it all felt very overwhelming and she actually genuinely needed space. Did she need to be included? Did she need to be believed? Did she need to be heard? All of these insights become the most powerful roadmap for your relational work next year. Like, if you do this and you write this stuff down and you become really interested in your experience, you genuinely have a roadmap of what normally takes like a therapist like 6 months to figure out. Like, you have your roadmap. You can take it to a therapist or to a coach and to be like, this is the stuff I need to work on. You're saving yourself so much time. It's so, so powerful to do this. So powerful. Now, I want to give you a few little things here to support you over this period, because I know that sometimes it can be really, really overwhelming. And because we are stepping back into our relational blueprint from childhood, it can be sometimes dysregulating. So it can be really, really helpful to have a few practices that support you to stay regulated. Maybe you devote yourself to a practice of going for a walk in the morning on your own. Maybe you devote yourself to having half an hour in the morning after waking up when you journal. Maybe you do a gentle breathwork practice. I'll put a link to a breathwork practice in the show notes that you can use if you fancy, as a gentle one to step into. One of the things I have been really working with recently, which I find super helpful, is the butterfly tap, which is when you bring your hands to your chest in a butterfly figuration. So you kind of cross over your wrists and bring your flat palms to your chest and you just tap left and right. You can also do it on your legs underneath the table if you're a Christmas dinner and particularly triggered. It's a really beautiful way to re-regulate. And again, we're doing this without blame. We're not blaming anyone here. We're recognizing that what shows up in us in relational dynamics at home is our exact relational blueprint that we're wanting to work with as an adult outside of our family of origin. You're being gifted a map. So, my sweet love, if things come up for you this week, it does not mean you're failing. It does not mean you're regressing. This is a gift. It is your body showing you the truth of your relational blueprint, and it is our responsibility to acknowledge them and to recognize that these patterns don't disappear in the rest of our relationships. So often we're like, I do this with my family, but I don't do this anywhere else. Like, I'm so enlightened in all my other relationships. No, no. Maybe it's not quite as intense in your other relationships, sure, but the same type of stuff will show up generally. So, with this, I want you to really take this seriously if you can and use it as a framework for the week. You don't obviously have to become a student and be like hiding in the corner writing notes all the time, but just use it as a framework. Like, feel into what's actually showing up for you. And if it's feeling inspiring and you're like, oh my God, I'm noticing all this stuff and I do not want to carry them into 2026. This is exactly the kind of work we're going to be doing in my group program that is launching in February. Somatic re-imprinting, relational healing, nervous system work for women who are tired of this stuff and ready to step into a really more empowered relational woman. So if you would like to join the waitlist for that and get early bird pricing, I will also put the link in the show notes. I would love to have you. I'm wishing you the most beautiful festive period, whatever you are up to. You're doing amazingly. I love you very much. I'm so grateful for you being here with me. And that is all. Have a beautiful rest of your day, my love, and I will speak with you soon.